This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet. Maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own three of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get two. Be like me and get three. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
Some ugly, ugly COVID numbers. Joe Biden ripping open scabs and, well, articles of impeachment paraded through the House. All that and more is coming up on I'm Right. Truth. You hear that word so often now, right? Truth. What's the truth? Reporters love to cloak themselves with that phrase, speaking truth to power. That's an absurd idiocy, which they never do. But what's so wild about America in 2021? What truth? You see, we are a nation on decline. There's no other way to put it. Our culture is rotting out. Our system is awful. It's broken, it's corrupt, it's rotted. And when a system gets like our system is, there's no such thing as truth. In fact, if you even bring up the truth, you're treated like some nutjob conspiracy theorist criminal. You see, the system lies. Once the system becomes completely corrupted, it lies all the time because it has to lie to cover up its own failures. It has to lie to you. It has to lie to me. It has to get us hating each other at all times because that distracts us from the fact it's all broken and wrong. The system lies. And these lies ruin lives. There's a lie out there in the United States of America, and this lie has to be addressed. It has to be addressed right now. I'm going to address it for the thousandth time on this show. You know what that lie is? Cops are out there hunting down black people for their skin color. There's no statistical evidence of that whatsoever, and I mean zero. Zero. In a country of 330 million people, in all of 2019, 9 unarmed black men were shot by police. And even then, if you look at the individual cases, I mean, it was justified, often. 9 in all of 2019. That number doesn't exist. And yet, think about this. Think about this for a moment. Just pause for a moment and think about all the places you see this narrative. Racist cops. Cops in need of reform. Cops hunting down black people. When are we going to stop the racist policing? It's all through the system. You can't turn on a movie without seeing a dirty cop hunting down black guys. Yeah, you can't turn on Netflix. Your professors, your high school teachers talk about it endlessly. The entire Democratic Party talks about it. 75% of the useless Republican Party talks about it. It's all throughout society, and it's not true. It's simply not true. And these people, the reason they keep pushing this lie is so the wealthy people, the people who run the system, can keep getting richer and more powerful while you and I squabble about race. squabble about skin color. These people don't give a crap about black people. They don't care about white people. They care about what all rotted out system leaders care about. Money and power and making sure you don't figure out that's what they care about. You hear Joe Biden step up today, our new president Joe Biden, and say something like this out of the blue, don't think for one second it's because he gives a crap about black people or policing. It's because he knows that's a great way to keep that gravy train rolling, baby.
Those 8 minutes and 46 seconds that took George Floyd's life opened the eyes of millions of Americans and millions of people around all over the world. It was the knee on the neck of justice, and it wouldn't be forgotten. It stirred the conscience and of tens of millions of Americans. And in my view, it marked a turning point in this country's attitude toward racial justice. When the six-year-old daughter, Gianna, who I met with when I met with the family, I leaned down to say hi to her, and she said, looked at me, and she said, "Daddy changed the world." That's what Gianna said, his daughter. "Daddy changed the world." And I believe she was right.
That seemed right to you? Diving on whatever that whole thing was. And look, we all saw the video. It's not like I'm defending the video at all. If that cop is convicted, I hope he has the book thrown at him. Fine, whatever. But did that advance anything in America? Tell me what the president of the United States standing up there and saying that, tell me what it unified, what it healed, what it moved forward. Did it do any of those things, or did it create more hatred, more division, more resentment, more distrust? Oh, that's exactly what it did. And don't for one second think that it's an accident. These disgusting people do that on purpose. We're going to have to wrap our minds around the fact, and we're going to have to teach our children about the fact these people don't care about skin color. They don't care about white people, black people, Mexican people, Indian people, Asians, or any of the other skin colors out there, or genders or anything. All these people care about is power and money. And they know for a fact, if we're throwing food at each other in the cafeteria, we're not going to notice them making their way out the back with our lunch money. That's a fact. That's who these people are. Don't let them get away with it. And don't for one second let the system shame you into believing lies. The system tells you lies all the time. All the time. Be ready for the next one. I don't tell you these things to rehash, you know, what already happened. But they lie and they lie and they lie and they lie, and you have to be ready for it. So the next time when every single person you know on Facebook is saying one thing, and the news is saying this thing, and your professor's saying this thing, and up, your employer sent out an email saying this thing. Oh, look, this television commercial's saying this thing. The president said the same thing. Wow, they're all saying the same thing. That's time for you to stop and say, oh, so they're all lying again. Because none of what you see is real. They're always lying. Always. All right. The new press secretary, she's having a rough go of it trying to manage lying campaigning Joe Biden and now President Joe Biden, whose solutions for coronavirus look a lot like Donald Trump's solutions.
When President Trump was imposing travel restrictions in March, specifically on China, then candidate Biden called it xenophobic and fear-mongering. So now President Biden is putting travel restrictions on people coming in from other countries. What word do we use to describe that?
Well, I don't think that's quite a fair articulation. The president has been clear that he felt the Muslim ban was xenophobic. He overturned the Muslim ban. He also, though, has supported, and he himself, even before, or we did, I should say, even before he was inaugurated, steps travel restrictions in order to keep the American people safe, to ensure that we are getting the pandemic under control. That's been part of his policy.
Let's go to the tape, shall we? This is Joe Biden's tweet from March 18th, 2020. Quote, "Stop the xenophobia fear-mongering. Be honest. Take responsibility. Do your job." That was in response to Trump putting down a travel ban. But here, quote, this is from February 1st, 2020. We are in the midst of a crisis with coronavirus. We need to lead the way with science, not Donald Trump's record of hysteria, xenophobia, and fear-mongering. He's the worst possible person to lead our country through a global health emergency. And look, we can do this all day long, and we will do this all day long, pointing out leftist hypocrisy, but we all know what the deal is, right? We know what the deal is. Remember, I just talked about the system lying to you? They've lied so often about Republican racism. Republicans are racist because they know it works. As soon as Republicans stop letting that work, Democrats will stop using it. Racist, well, obviously you don't want to be one, has become this scarlet letter in society. It's become the worst thing you can possibly be. We've allowed them to weaponize the word. So now it's a great way to get anybody to back off of anything, whether it has to do with skin color or not. Just call somebody a racist on the right and you'll see, you should see all my black friends. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Just don't be one. Then never respond. Don't worry about what they say about you. They hate you. It's all about money and power. Stop responding to it. So Dr. Fauci, remember back in the day when Fauci said masks didn't work? Don't worry, I'm going to play that for you a second if you don't. The newest Dr. Fauci said, quote, wear two masks. Now we have to wear two masks? Why not? Why not three masks? Why not four masks? Why aren't you wearing 18 masks? Do you want grandma to die? Don't you care about your fellow citizen? Why can't we just admit these people have no freaking idea what they're doing? You remember what he said back early on? This is what he said.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
Wow. I'm going to tell you something. I had a couple other things I wanted to talk about here in the open, but I've got to get this off my chest. I had a good friend of mine, Chad Robichaux, on my radio this morning. You know what? I'm going to bring him on the TV show shortly so we can all talk to him. You know what he told me? On top of the job loss and everything else, suicide hotline numbers are up 1,000% in the United States of America. I'm not even talking about the child abuse, the substance abuse, the loss of livelihoods, marriages breaking up because of the financial ruin. Let's just focus on the suicides for a moment. 1,000%. And Dr. Fauci, I have some numbers right here. He was the highest paid government employee last year, $417,000. We're ruining lives, ending lives based on a lie, based on politics. You talk about a corrupt, rotted out system. How sick and depraved is that? I don't even have morals. I'm a horrible person. I could never do that. These people don't deserve an ounce of your respect. None of them do. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Now, cybercrime. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around it unless we grew up in the internet age. I did not. But when I found out, the more I find out about it, the more shocking it is. That's where the sophisticated criminals reside. It's not the scumbag on the street corner with a gun in his hand taking your wallet. All the money's online. And during all this coronavirus lockdown stuff, cybercrime has increased 75%. Your home title is your financial vulnerability. It's a gigantic piggy bank out there for these scumbags, and they will hack into it, they will steal it, they will take a loan out against it, and you will pay it back unless you get HomeTitleLock.com. Go to HomeTitleLock.com, use the promo code RADIO, that gets you 30 free days of protection. We'll be back. Well, it's back to performance art time when it comes to the House of Representatives. This is one thing. Look, I understand I'm a cold-hearted jerk. I get all that. I'll never understand the Democrats' obsession with performance art. You remember that last time they had to walk across the House with the articles of impeachment, acting all sober? Well, here it is again, you know, the House managers walking. I mean, this is so stupid. This is all so stupid. And look, setting the Democrats aside for just a moment, we on the right have got some work to do. I'm trying to be gentle. I realize that was a harsh opening to the show. I'm trying to be as gentle as humanly possible, but how many people do you see on the right, politicians, pundits, who are already bowing down to this narrative of Trump-inspired? Ah, Trump is responsible. Trump-inspired. Trump is responsible. What? Giving a fiery speech that some idiots take and run with now makes you responsible? Is that the new standard? Nobody in a vacuum would say that guy, some guy who gave a fiery speech and his supporters in the crowd and takes off and does something dumb, and would say, okay, that guy's responsible for it. In a vacuum, you'd never say that. But here's what happens. The people on the right, they live for politics. And they live for their articles in the media. And look, I realize it feels good. Right? They printed something about you. Woo-hoo, hey, honey, look. I'm in this magazine today. I get that. I get that it feels good. But this Republican desire to have the disgusting American media say they're one of the good ones, we're never going to win until that desire goes away. I know this sounds terrible. I get it. And I understand this makes you uncomfortable. It makes people uncomfortable in general. I get it. Your goal as a Republican, part of your goal is the media has to hate me. Hate me. If they don't hate me, I'm not effective. It's just simply a fact. It's the ultimate canary in the coal mine for a Republican. If they're not destroying you all the time, you're useless. You're utterly useless. The Republican desire to be a star in Washington, D.C. has got to go away. It just does. It's got to go away. So, impeachment's coming. President Biden says impeachment needs to happen. Quote, news, President Biden tells CNN that President Trump's impeachment trial has to happen. While acknowledging the effect it could have on his agenda, Biden tells me there would be a worse effect if it didn't happen. That's from quoting to CNN's Caitlin Collins. And maybe we should be happy about the impeachment. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't want to see the powder keg of America blow up. It's the last thing I want. You know, as I've said 1,000 times, I don't want anybody to get hurt. Maybe we should want it to happen. I think this is a terrible, terrible strategic error by Democrats. Remember, in general, the newly elected president has the political capital for about one big thing. After that, you had already called in all your favors and you can't really get another one done. That's why Barack Obama, right away, Obamacare passes it. And even then they had to twist arms and everything else to get it done, but he passes it. Didn't really do anything else legislatively for the rest of his 8 years. That was it. He burned out all his political capital on it. Joe Biden, it's kind of hilarious. Joe Biden, I think he's going to burn up his political capital on impeachment. And what's hilarious about it is the juice ain't worth the squeeze. What if they succeed? What if they get, you know, Donald Trump, he's convicted in his impeachment trial. Okay. Now he can't run again. He's going to be like 78 or 77 next time to run. We don't even know if he wants to run again. What did you gain? And if he ran again, he's running against the same guy who just beat him. What did you gain? The juice ain't worth the squeeze. On top of what it does for the general mood in this country. Oh, and I love this. Chief Justice John Roberts, as useless as he is anymore, somehow even got more useless. You see, he should be the one presiding over the impeachment trial. Instead, he gives it to Democrat hack Senator Patrick Leahy. This is what he had to say. Quote, the president pro temp pro tempore, I don't know, I went to community college, has historically presided over Senate impeachment trials of non-presidents. When presiding over an impeachment trial, the president pro tempore takes an additional speech oath to do impartial justice according to the Constitution and the laws. It is an oath that I take extraordinarily seriously. When I preside over the impeachment trial of former President Donald Trump, I will not waver from my constitutional and sworn obligations to administer the trial with fairness in accordance with the Constitution's, with the Constitution and the laws. And if you believe a single word of that from Senator Patrick Leahy, then I have a great deal for you. I have this huge plot of oceanfront property in Arizona, and I will sell it to you for bottom dollar. Rand Paul, as he often does, just skewered the whole thing.
If we are about to try to impeach a president, where is the Chief Justice? If the accused is no longer president, where is the constitutional power to impeach him? Private citizens don't get impeached. Impeachment is for removal from office. And the accused here has already left office. Hyperpartisan Democrats are about to drag our great country down into the gutter of rancor and vitriol, the likes of which has never been seen in our nation's history. Instead of doing the nation's work, with their new majorities in the House, the Senate, and the executive branch, Democrats are wasting the nation's time on a partisan vendetta against a man no longer in office. It's almost as if they have no ability to exist except in opposition to Donald Trump.
You know what? I think we're going to get the senator on the show. All right, we still got a lot of great stuff for you. Hang on. Nancy Pelosi, you know how much I love her. I can't help it. I love the woman. I mean, she's detestable, I get that, but I think she's a model of how Republicans should conduct themselves. Nancy Pelosi, already talking again about H.R. 1. You remember what she had to say about it back in October?
We have plenty of work to do in the Joe Biden administration. We're going to build the infrastructure of America in a green way. We're going to make sure health care is available to all Americans, lower the cost of prescription drugs. We're going to have H.R. 1 right off the bat be about cleaner government so that we can reduce the role of big, dark, special interest money.
She's going to make sure they're going to reduce the amount of special interest money out there. But here's what's actually in H.R. 1, the For the People Act. These freaking people. It ensures automatic voter registration, requires states to allow same-day election day voter registration, requires paper ballots for all jurisdictions, expands vote by mail, and supports Washington, D.C. statehood. This all sounds like, well, Republicans will never win another election. Joining me now to talk about that is Scott Hounsell. He's the polling expert and contributor to redstate.com. Scott, are you a big H.R. 1 fan?
Negative, Ghost Rider. That pattern is full.
I mean, this is obviously just the most naked, let us just do whatever we want on election day power stuff in the world and has no chance to pass, right?
Unfortunately, due to the fact that Democrats are in control of both houses of Congress, it's obviously a potential. I think that the issue is I think there's enough moderate Democrats who are worried about re-election in their more purple districts that will be voting against it because of the long-term consequences of the act. If you thought what happened in 2020 was sketchy, just wait to an election held under the rules that they're suggesting under H.R. 1. Would take effect. I mean, it's just carte blanche cheating. The mail ballot fraud that we were worried about in 2020 would be exponentially larger on the national level. I mean, it's insane.
Scott, there are still people on the right, whatever people believe about the 2020 election, there are people on the right who are trotting out this line as if there's never any election fraud and they're all clean and everything's good to go. How can you have two functioning brain cells and look at something like this and think, oh, it's because they never cheat? I mean, do we really have people that dumb on our side?
I think both sides have people that are dumb on that on their sides. Unfortunately, the fact is, I think that the Democrats do it because they genuinely believe it. Republicans do it because they're afraid what the Democrats will say about them if they don't believe that. I think that there are Republicans who will say, yeah, there's no voter fraud, because that's what the media wants to hear them say so that they're liked and so applauded. I don't believe necessarily that there was wholesale voter fraud across every state. I think it was very targeted. As you know, remember the pieces that I wrote during the election season highlighted the exact areas where the fraud took place. And yet, when we come with them to them with the evidence of saying, hey, look, these numbers don't make sense. We performed an audit, if you will, of the elections, and these things don't matter, or these things are an issue, they tell us that they don't matter. And all H.R. 1 would do is basically make this a wholesale issue across the country. I mean, all the issues that we saw abused in certain states, some of the swing states, especially Georgia, with leading up to the election, this just makes those rules on a national level.
Good grief. All right, we're changing course here. Anthony Blinken, people have no idea who this person is, none, and yet he's the Secretary of State? Who is this person?
He's been a Joe Biden clunky for a while. He's been following him around probably for the last several decades. When Joe Biden was on the Senate Foreign Intelligence Committee, this guy was one of the staffers on the committee. So he's been around for a while. This is just rewarding loyalty. I don't think that necessarily he's going to be a fantastic Secretary of State. But I also think that there are other choices that could have been much more detrimental to U.S. foreign security and national security, foreign interest, national security. So I don't think necessarily he's a horrible choice. There's much worse choices on that list. But at the same time, he's a Biden loyalist and will do what Biden wants him to do. And likely that's probably good for places like Russia and China and not good for the United States.
Okay, Joe Biden, I understand we have to grade this on the mountain of mountainous curves, but so far, for a Democrat president, has it been okay, par for the course, twice as bad as you thought it was going to be? How's it been?
Well, why don't you ask some of those moderate Democrat voters who have all voiced their concerns and regrets for voting for him? The guy ran on the center of the political spectrum, said that he was going to be center left. And 15 minutes into being president, he's progressive left poster boy. The idea that he was going to try to unite the country, but consistently pushes extremely progressive ideals. I'm not going to ban fracking. And then the first day he's in office says, well, maybe we are going to ban fracking. One of his first things he did was kill 15,000 jobs in with the Keystone Oil Pipeline. He ruined chances for a U.S. Continued U.S. In energy independence, and gets the golf clap from people like Vladimir Putin, who have put their tentacles out into the international oil market, and now will have better control over the oil market and putting the United States more on their on leaning on them for reliance on energy.
Okay, is this all just a gigantic payback to, I'm sure are gigantic corporate donors of solar panels and things like that? Is that really all this stuff comes down to?
Unfortunately, I don't think that they're principled enough for that. I think that this is just progressive ideology being implemented. I don't think that there's any, solar panel guys smoking cigars in some back room saying, yeah, Joe, thanks for that. I think it's more along the lines that this is the Green New Deal. This is kowtowing to the progressive left. This is global warming and all the rest of that stuff that they talk about constantly. These are the issues that they suggest are wing issues, but they make them center stage when they're elected. And so I think Joe Biden's actions are just that of satisfying the progressive left. I don't think it has anything to do with being rewarding any donors or in the rest of it. This is purely a kissing up to all those that pushed him so hard into the office.
Scott, we found out, I mean, we're finding out more and more now, they're going to leave thousands of National Guard troops in D.C., at least through the impeachment process. They do realize how damaging this is to the unity and healing they say they want, right? They fortified D.C., and now they're going to drag the guy who's already gone into a trial for what? I'm not really sure. That's only going to inflame everything more. Are they trying to make everybody mad?
I think that really what it comes down to is that I don't think that they even believe the narrative that this was the most secure election in American history. Because nothing says secure American, most secure election in American history than 30,000 armed National Guard troops securing the Capitol. Certainly, there was actions taken by the right that justify securing the Capitol. That is not my argument here by any stretch of the imagination. However, you can't say that if this is the most secure election and everyone agrees, when we're somehow guarding the Capitol building against half the United States, half the population of the United States. This is an insult, not just to the electoral process, but also to the National Guard troops who are being used as pawns now, essentially, to secure the everything that goes on with the impeachment and everything else, though the impeachment may likely be unconstitutional. So this has nothing more than just securing their agenda. This has nothing to do with being secure or having the process respected. This is them trying to protect themselves against what they already know to be unconstitutional and perhaps illegal.
What do you mean unconstitutional?
The idea of going in and impeaching a president who's left office for something that is simply opinion-based. Trump made no direct calls. Yes, Trump's rhetoric may have spun up certain of his supporters, but we don't have Democrat leaders being held responsible for all the rhetoric that spun up BLM and Antifa over the last couple of years. So this idea that we're going to hold Trump to a standard we're not holding everyone in government to, one, so it's an unequal, it's an unequal application of the law, one, and two, the fact that we're going to impeach him after he's left office in order to prevent him from holding federal office ever again, simply because our opinion is that he incited an insurrection. Did his rhetoric perhaps inspire some to violent action? Potentially. But is it an insurrection? Is it a coup? Is he... I think that this is all a matter of opinion, and I don't think it matters much to a constitutional argument that this is real or this is legitimate.
Scott Hansel, thank you so much, brother.
Thanks again, man.
We'll be back. Mike Lindell. You heard of this guy, Mike Lindell? I interviewed him one time. Great, great dude. And one of those dudes with just a great reputation. Treats everybody right. He's the MyPillow guy. I'm sure you've seen his face on TV somewhere. But he also committed, the deadly sin in America of supporting Donald Trump. And since then, his pillows have been removed from major stores. Now he just got removed from Twitter today. He got canceled, social media account removed. You see what they're doing, right? They're simply using big tech to do the censorship that government isn't allowed to do. And to talk about that and other things, joining me now is Sarah Christensen. She is intimately aware of this cancel culture thing, and that's why she's out there being an advocate for it now. First of all, Sarah, tell your story. What happened?
Yeah, so thanks for having me on. I was canceled about a year and a half ago. It destroyed my entire business, ruined my reputation, and the death threats were so credible that my family and I had to go into hiding for 6 months. So the long story short is I was hiring an employee. This person would be responsible for the social media for my business, so I wanted to take a look at their social media to see how they presented themselves. When I looked at it, it was full of a lot of pretty scantily clad photos. And so I wanted to share with the people on my Instagram, which I had 2,500 followers at that time, that this probably isn't the best way to get a professional job and how you represent yourself. So I made an Instagram post. I didn't identify this person in any way, but she saw it, went to Twitter, called me out, and my whole entire life got blown apart at that point. I was on the front page of NBC News, the BBC, Whoopi Goldberg read my Instagram story, and within just a couple of days, my whole entire business was destroyed. And like I said, the threats were so bad, the FBI got involved, and we ended up selling our house and going into hiding for 6 months.
We're talking, I'm assuming, death threats?
Very aggressive ones. And I was doxxed, too, so my home address was put out there. So I have an 8-page handwritten letter of someone telling me in great detail how they're going to murder me.
Good grief. Okay, where were these threats coming from? Do you have some idea, some specific group, random people? Who is doing this?
Well, all told, I have about 50,000 threats. So they were coming from lots of different places. Some of them appear to be somewhat coordinated, but a lot of them were what I would call very random. And when I talked with the FBI about it, they said that they see this kind of thing all the time where people will anonymize themselves for the sole purpose of making these kinds of threats. So while I don't know exactly where they were coming from, I believe they were coming from all corners of the world.
Sarah, I have to ask, and you probably don't know, but I sure don't know, why would somebody anonymize themselves to make death threats? That seems not only awful, rather boring. What do people get out of stuff like this?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you should ask that because I ask that question a lot. So it caused me to dig into why would someone waste their time or want to put that kind of energy out in the world? And the people that are doing this canceling really fall into a couple of categories. One are people that, honest to God in their heart, they think that they're doing God's work. They thought I was a terrible person. I needed to be held accountable. I needed to be punished for this terrible thing that I did. And I see this a lot. I see a lot of people joining these canceling tribes where they really think that they're doing good work. And I think that's the majority of people that get involved in these situations, and they get caught up in the moment and they do terrible things that they may not do if they had to say those things to my face. There's a lot to be said for anonymizing yourself behind an avatar on the internet where you do things you probably wouldn't do in person. But then there's a slice of people, and these are the people that go out of their way to anonymize themselves and use VPNs and use all sorts of things to hide their identity that are credible, that really potentially want to do harm to people that they think need to be punished. And unfortunately, since my cancellation, I have been working with a lot of businesses and individuals that are getting canceled, and the death threats and the severity of this is just increasing at record amounts of the times that this is happening and how unbelievably scary and credible the threats are.
Why do you think they're increasing? What sense does that make?
Well, I think there's a lot of factors at play. I think the number one reason that this is increasing at such a high rate is that as a country, we are more and more divided. The culture wars are at astronomical levels. I also think that us being locked down with COVID has something to do with it. People are living more of their lives online, and quite frankly, people are kind of getting stir crazy and mad, not being able to be out with humans, looking at people in their face, seeing their humanity. So it's almost a perfect storm of us as a country getting ripped apart and not being able to connect with each other as humans that allows this attacking to be more prominent. And it's easier to attack someone that you don't know, and it's easier to attack someone that you can't look in their eye and see that they're maybe a mom and they value a lot of the same things that you do. But when you don't have that, it's easy to attack.
Sarah, explain to me, I apologize if this is not exactly the fondest memory you've ever had in your life, but how did you explain this to your family? I get death threats all the time. It's just the nature of what I do, but I have to talk to my kids about it, and it's never pleasant. They don't understand why? I can't imagine having to explain to my family, oh, we have to sell the house and hide.
Well, first thing I can say is it's unbelievably humiliating. It is one of the most embarrassing conversations that you have to have and explain. Quite frankly, that was a bad decision that I made. It was not my best moment. And to have that on the front page of the BBC and having to explain to my family what happened is embarrassing and humiliating. It's also hard to convey what I was going through. So my partner was out of town when this happened. So I was all alone when these death threats started happening. And I had a really hard time explaining, like, you need to get home now. I'm scared for my life. I am worried that someone is going to follow through on these threats that they're making. So not only is it humiliating, but it's absolutely positively terrifying. And it's terrifying to know that it extended beyond me. So the cancelers went after my clients. They went after my family. They said terrible things about my dogs, how they were going to murder my dogs. I mean, there's no boundaries to the viciousness that they will send in your direction.
Good grief. All right. Our companies, this has been my desire for a long time with corporate America. I want them to adapt. I understand some of them are just activist companies, but I want them to adapt and realize when they get flooded with 9,000 Twitter messages and emails that it is intentional and they should weather the storm and back their people instead of dumping their people. Are you getting that they're picking up on that?
Yes and no. And I think there are some companies who are choosing to make choices, especially when it comes to politics. They're going to choose which team they want to be aligned with. And I think a lot of that is a conscious decision based upon their company, where they want their company to go and who their customers are. I mean, there's a very conscious choice that Nike made when they made decisions about backing Colin Kaepernick. And on the other side, Chick-fil-A, for example. Chick-fil-A makes very conscious decisions on who their customers are, and they make those decisions knowing that they are going to isolate some customers. So I think there are some corporations now who are trying to decide where they're coming out on this. They're trying to figure out, can they be non-political? Is that even an option in today's society where consumers are almost demanding that corporations make choices and join these culture wars? But I think companies right now are just trying to figure it out, because this is, number one, a giant threat to their business if they don't make the right decisions, or if they are misinterpreted by the mob and the activists that are out there. So I think it's incredibly messy right now, and they're just trying to figure it out. But we saw something a couple of weeks ago where big corporations decided to hit pause on some of the political action committees that they were donating to. So I think that they're understanding that this is a giant threat, and it's something that they have to get on top of, because if they don't, it can be incredibly damaging. I mean, you mentioned the MyPillow guy. He definitely is making a bet that the conservatives are going to back him because of his position and because of the way that he, you know, his belief system, but he's also alienating the whole entire other side, if you will. So I think companies and individuals are having to figure that out and make those decisions right now.
Yeah. Did you get back on your feet? You doing well now?
Well, you know, I was forced into a new career, but what I do right now is I help anyone and everyone prepare for and defend against cancel culture. I'd like to say that I'm not busy, but I have so many corporations and individuals that I'm working with right now because, like I said, more people are starting to understand what a giant threat this is and that they actually can do something to prepare so that they're not getting attacked by cancel culture.
Sarah Christensen, thank you so much, ma'am. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Take care.
We'll be back. You're very generous, viewers, and the reason I say that is I get emails all the time that you want to buy me gifts and stuff like that. Hey, Jesse, what do you want for your birthday? Hey, Jesse, what do you want for Christmas? And oftentimes, because I'm a hard person to shop for, I don't know. Well, now I know. Part of that made me laugh. How there's not even any music in the video. They look terrible. The gun itself looks like one of those fake, you remember the little green army men? Whatever. I still want them. See you tomorrow.
Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up. Or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it for $4,000. She has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE, or go to timesharejesse.com. Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.